Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
925 right here on the Comcast Business text line.
We're leading with the texters?
Willard trying to save his takes. You got it wrong, buddy.
Captain Save a Take?
All I wanted to say is, yeah, I'm so glad to be back.
So glad.
It's so good to be back with all of you haters screaming and yelling. And yeah, if you're just joining, first of all, hello and welcome. And I hope that your belly is full. I hope even more so that your heart is full. After last week, I hope everybody was able to have a really, really good time. We're refreshed and ready to absolutely get after it. 888-957-9570 is the number. And yes, Christian McCaffrey and, just for fun, Jordan Mason, too, are both going on IR. And with five games left to go, that's probably pretty much a wrap for both of them for the rest of the season. Maybe you'll see them in Arizona. I don't really know necessarily why you would, but maybe you will. But that's it for those guys. So here we go. It's the Isaac Guerrero Show. I hope he's still available in your league. You can go try to get him here on Monday night. Good luck to each and every one of you. But the rest of it is, Dibs, come on, man. It feels like rubble at the bottom of a cliff right now.
It's an unfortunate series of events that continues to happen over and over. It feels like there's no end to it. And to just get the Trent Williams news about the devastation in his family just makes you think, and I saw this a lot on Twitter, like, oh, we're cursed and jinxed and all the rest of it. It's just a series of bad things that have happened in a number of different ways, from injuries to off-field incidents to family tragedies to a snow game that you really aren't equipped to win anyway. Yep. And I said this a long time ago when we looked at the schedule. That was a scheduled loss. Buffalo off a bye. You in the second game on a, quote, road trip after a Green Bay game. That was always going to be tough. And then Mother Nature made it all but impossible. So if you want to look at just yesterday and think this is a calamity, it's over, we should give up, you're allowed to. But I look at three games that they blew, and if they wouldn't have blown those, or maybe they blew one of the three, you'd be 7-5 now instead of 5-7.
In first place.
We'd all be singing a different tune. So this whole thing sits on that razor's edge. So I look at the next 5 weeks, and yeah, Mason out on IR and McCaffrey done for the year, it looks like. Isaac Garendo, can we really go 4-1 with Isaac Garendo?
Probably not.
But maybe.
I mean, I want to listen.
I want to see it.
I have plans for 1 o'clock on Sunday. Do you?
Lunch plans?
No.
Pickleball?
I would like to. I got a game to watch.
Oh, the Niner game.
There's a football game to watch. They're still going to play it. I checked.
Yeah.
I made some calls. Still going to play it. Listen, I'm not here to blue sky anything. There's a lot to get to today, and we will. But whether you want to say the math still works or whatever, that to me, that's message one, is just save your blow it all up, it's all over, window closed, send everybody to the showers. If it were me, save that for at least one more week.
Yeah, week and a half, like you were saying.
And if they win that one, save it for 4 more days. And if they win that one, well, then let's have a new conversation.
It should be a new conversation at that point. If you're 7-7 and everything breaks right, you could be tied for first at that point, because you've got a game this weekend where Arizona is favored against Seattle in Arizona. If they win that, and the Rams are playing Buffalo, and we know how good that team is. So in just a week, the shakeup could be profound. Or you go out at home and you haven't been great at home this year. Well, you haven't been great anywhere, but Chicago comes in and does to you what they did in that rainy day at Soldier Field when you were there, and they beat you in a game you shouldn't have lost.
And
so if it happens again, then next Monday we can come in and maybe...
Yeah!
And no, you can strike whatever chord you want at 888-957-9570. I'm not yet to the doom and gloom portion. However, you look at those last two games that have happened since you and I have seen each other, and they are ferocious, to use Lowe's word, ferocious defensive efforts.
Oh my God.
You can't stop the run.
No.
You can't catch the quarterback. You can't cover, and you can't generate turnovers.
Yeah.
And you've given up 73 points?
No. I mean, tucked into all of this, because I'm not going to react so much to last night as much as I was already sort of feeling this. Nick Sorensen's probably not the guy. He's probably not the guy. And I know you can sit here and go, but his best players.
Yeah.
No Bosa, no Lenore, and Warner's on one leg. You could say that, but I look at it more sort of mathematically and functionally. I don't think Nick Sorensen has pushed a button that's really mattered all year long. I don't necessarily know that he's done something that's just like egregiously wrong. I just don't know if he's done anything that's helped either.
Agreed. And
so he's probably not the guy.
Yeah, we'll see, because Kyle Shanahan today in his press conference did speak about Nick Sorensen, and he said he doesn't think that Nick's the problem over the last couple of weeks. And Kyle was actually taking some of the responsibility for the team not being prepared.
Kyle Shanahan and accountability?
Might have been
a
little bit of accountability.
No.
I said responsibility. No.
Well,
but
it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
It's accountability's next door neighbor, for sure.
We need this today, don't we?
Possibly.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure we
need that bubbly water.
Yeah, we do.
See you in the aisles.
Well, you know what I mean? Everybody's got to, it's a take the weight off Monday a little bit, isn't it? Yeah, clean it up a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, so take it off with the LaCroix right there. I'm sure you picked that up Safeway, aisle 12, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually Costco, but no, I know. I'll see.
This guy.
No.
25 years in the business.
See you in the aisles. I'm there every single day. But anyway.
Anyhow.
Look.
Anyway, 73 points in 2 weeks. I do think that they have a coordinator problem, but Kyle today defended Nick Sorensen and said,
he did.
That's good. Well, he didn't exactly do that last year.
No, he actually kind of did. Like, I mean, the whole Steve Wilkes thing, outside of what happened against Minnesota last year, you never heard Kyle come out and be like, yeah, I think Steve's the problem. But then what did they do 10 seconds after the season was over? And that may happen again this year. Like, if Robert Saleh wants that job next year, why wouldn't you give it to him? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, get your defense back to being good again.
I don't know. Have some energy. Have something going on the sideline. But again, that's a question for a different
day. Sure.
You're not going to do anything about it now. But I sort of, just based on what we're hearing today, and I think that there's a huge Brock Purdy conversation to have, and I think we'll have it here coming up in just a little bit. But I do want to throw this out there. If you think it's time to sort of like drop the curtain on the season, say so. But then why? Why? Like, what is it? And what is it you want to get out of that? And in turn, if you're with us, which is to say, well, no, hang on a second. I'm mad. I'm bummed. I'm disappointed. I'm all those things. But I still want to see what you got next. I'm not sitting here saying I think they can make the playoffs. I'm certainly not sitting here telling you that I think they can do anything if they make the playoffs. But the narrative today that not only shut this season down, I hear a lot of people almost doing, shut the era down. It's time for a full-blown reboot.
Windows closed.
What does that mean?
Means Lynch and Shanahan are gone. You don't re-side Purdy, and you really start to till the soil. You turn that thing over.
Is that are some of us there? Start over? Start from scratch?
I would love to hear from those people, because for me, that is not... Not only is it not on the table, you have too much in place right now that'll at least carry through, I don't know, next year and maybe beyond. If you still believe that Trent Williams is good, and I do believe he still is good or good enough, can you get one more year out of him? Sure. Can you get another year out of Debo? Yeah. And Kittle and Purdy at that salary. And Bosa. These are all really good NFL players still. So for me, you're not even thinking about blowing it up and, you know, replacing a general manager or the head coach or both.
It's interesting, isn't it? I do wonder this. And you can take any one of the names that you're bringing up. You know, you brought up Bosa and Debo and Trent and Kittle. I focus mostly on Kyle Shanahan. And one thing I wonder is, how come more people don't see this for what I think it is, which is an outlier? Why don't we see that? Kyle Shanahan is having a bad year. I'm glad he took some responsibility. I agree. He is having a bad year. And if you would like to criticize Kyle for all kinds of little things, you can. I'll give you one. You want one? I thought this was odd last night. Circumstantially odd. I know Kyle Juszczyk hasn't fumbled in 4 years. I'm aware of that. He also only touches the ball on average like maybe twice a game.
Yep.
So he doesn't get a lot of opportunities to fumble the football. I think when Jordan Mason is gashing a defense the way that he was, and there's snow on the ground, and there's every reason to think that when you're inside the 5-yard line, if you just hand it off a few times to Jordan Mason, he's going to go into the end zone. Why would you rock the fullback for his first touch of the game? In that moment where it was like, look, either you score a touchdown here or this thing is completely out of hand. This game is beyond over. It's 21-3. You come out in the second half. You get a great return. You go hot knife butter straight through to the 4-yard line. And then you go, look, this is a different kind of a game. We got snow. It hurts more. It's harder to hold on to things. Let's hand somebody the ball who hasn't touched it all night in the second half of a football game. That was weird to me.
Yeah, great play call. I mean,
it would have worked if he hadn't dropped the ball.
A little bit of an awkward handoff. I don't know if he cut in too late, or it seemed like the exchange was a little awkward, and then he got it. There was a big hole right through, boom, to the one.
And I'm sure that's the way Kyle looks at
it. And a good defensive plan. Yeah. I mean, the defensive player made a great play to punch it out.
Sure.
I always credit Fred for a punch out. That was a straight-up punch-out. But I'm kind of with you. It seemed a little bit awkward
when you go to
the fullback. But Kyle would defend it by saying, well, the play clearly worked.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's one step away from scoring.
So we can do all that. He's having a bad year. But why don't more of you, in my mind, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm just hearing some voices. It feels like we don't go there. This is an outlier for Kyle Shanahan's career, not the next brick on the wall, in my opinion. Let's get into it a little bit. And there is a Purdy conversation that we really need to have. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. We're really glad you're with us. We're really glad to be back. It's Willard and Dibs.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To take it to the house. Brought down to the 30-yard line.
That wasn't even a full shoestring. That was a half-string tackle on the tail end of this one.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
It was also the last healthy run of Christian McCaffrey's season, so it would appear. There was one more touch, and that's when he just slid to the ground, knew something wasn't right. I do want to share, because I found this to be very interesting. I don't like to try to be a doctor, because I'm not. You're more of one than I am.
Yeah, I'm into it.
You've had all the injuries and stuff like that.
Got a couple of them right now,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, that's exciting. So, anyway, I texted a lot with Doc Pandya last night, and he did something he's very almost never done before. When McCaffrey limps off, I know it all. I'm thinking the same thing all of you are. Oh, my God, he popped his damn Achilles after all that. So all I did was text Doc and go, Achilles? Question mark? For the first time in Doc's career, he does not text the answer back. He texts back and goes, bro, I'm out in the middle of nowhere driving with my family right now, and I don't even know what the hell you're referring to. So, anyway.
Sorry, Doc.
Sorry. Sorry for bugging you and acting like there's sports is the only thing going
right
on. So, anyway, he circles back, gets home, does all the video, and we were texting more last night and more this morning, and there were two questions. One, like basically once the PCL thing kind of came out, he's like, here's all the different designations of a PCL and what Christian might be looking at. But then I asked him, I go, hey, what about this like social media video of the calf explosion thing that everybody kind of spotlighted? And what does that mean? Cause doesn't that look like it's just like the Aaron Rodgers thing? I go, doesn't that look like it, like the Achilles or the calf exploded? He goes, well, he was decelerating, not accelerating. If he were accelerating, I'd say we got a problem. He's decelerating, and therefore, if you actually spotlighted people decelerating as they're running in sports, you'd notice that that happens all the time.
With the calf, the exploding calf.
That was like anybody who saw that last night and decided, ooh, that's a muscle popping. Nope, that's just a human being slowing down.
Right, it's a muscle being activated to help you slow down.
There you go. So no big deal.
No big deal
at all. Not part of it.
And the big deal is that it is a PCL, and I guess Shanahan said today no surgery, but he's going to be out at least 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, which tells me that, you know, you get through 4 weeks, even if things go kind of well, and you're sitting there at 8-8, maybe after 4 weeks, and you got a chance to win and get in, if he rushes back, then that becomes a more interesting thing.
So Doc told me what the different grades of PCL are, and this is before Kyle said 6 weeks. He said, if it's a grade 1, 2 to 4. If it's a grade 2, 6 to 8. So my guess is it's a grade 2.
Or grade 1.5. It could be borderline.
If it's a grade 3, it could be 12 to 16 weeks. But either way, I think we'll see Christian at OTAs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not at the Pro Bowl. Not this year.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Well, maybe if he can rush his way back for the first playoff game
and be
available then.
Yeah, he won't be at the Pro Bowl because he might be getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, they're allowed to go on a run and still make it, I believe. They aren't one of the teams listed with an E next to their name, even though that list is now quietly growing. And for all the people who really want them to tank and run and draft, it's already too late for them to be bad enough for where that would be worth their while. They're not going to get a top five pick. There are already five teams with 10 losses, I believe.
Patriots 3-10, Jacksonville 2-10, Raiders 2-10, Giants 2-10. That's it for 10 loss teams, but there's a bunch of 9 loss teams too. Panthers are 3-9, and the Jets are 3-9. Yeah, you're not getting a top five pick.
Yep.
I mean, you could lose out if you want.
Yeah, 5-12, it might get you the 7th pick or the 8th pick.
It's kind of where I'm at.
Yep.
And this is another text, your Comcast Business text line. We really appreciate all of your engagement and you guys sending in these texts and listening to the show. This is the way I feel about it. That's why I read it. 509 sends this in. It's because it doesn't matter if you think they're not going to go anywhere. Because what we think is going to happen in sports often doesn't happen. I know a bunch of guys in my friend group last night were like, bet the under, bet the under. You can't even see the field. Bet the under. Well, y'all lost your money. So what we think is going to happen doesn't always happen. Thank you. Fade the Dibbers coming up here in about 2.5 hours.
Wish I would have had a chance to pick that game.
Well, you got the Packer win on our way to vacation.
Big.
Yeah.
Big. And get the Monday night game tonight.
Are you 500 or 100?
I think I'm still one below.
One below?
Yeah. Oh, there's no way I could be back to 500.
So that means you're going to lose tonight big time.
But boy.
Anyway, the text is, if the math still works, you have to play your ass off until it doesn't. We've all watched enough sports to know crazy things happen. So that's where I'm at. It doesn't matter how frustrated we are. If there are still possibilities out there, you play because that's what you do. That's what you do. Don't put yourself in danger. But I would argue that it's something you said earlier. If Fred Warner was actually putting himself in danger, well, then that's a question for the 49er doctors 6 weeks ago.
Right.
Not now. But they decided then that he's not putting himself in danger. Or at least significant danger.
Right.
Or else that would be malpractice for them to have put him out there when they did.
You could have said grave danger, and I would have said, is there any other kind of danger? Ooh. From a few good men, of course. Yeah. But yes.
No, there isn't actually.
I don't think that any doctor would ever put any player out there if they were going to, you know, sustain a grave injury or grave danger. If the worst thing that could happen to Fred with this injury is for the fracture to get worse and then he breaks his ankle, yeah, that could happen. And then look at the Christian McCaffrey situation. We all wanted to pitch count him and bubble wrap him with the two Achilles because we wanted to make sure those Achilles were fine. And then he goes out and hurts his knee. So just reminds you that no matter what you do with these football players, the chance of them getting hurt is very likely.
Very, very high.
You said it before. It's 100% injury rate. And so if Fred can play through the pain, if he can take the needle and play, then play until you get to the point where you're eliminated.
I really do want to see if in 10 days they're 7-7. I don't think that's crazy. I'm not saying it's likely, and I'm not even saying that that earns you anything. But I am interested to see if they can get up off the mat, because here's my number one observation from the road trip to Green Bay and Buffalo. You can talk about defense and offense and this X and O and that play call. Here's my number one observation. Look like a team whose morale is completely broken. Totally and completely broken. They did not believe themselves that they could go win those football games. Their shoulders were slumped. They were overwhelmed by who knows what, whether it's Charvarius, Trent, or anything else that the team may be facing. The absence of Purdy in Green Bay, Bosa, all, everything that happened around them. But that team's morale was completely and totally broken. And I would love to see if they can get it back. Because that's how morale works. It takes one action, one thing. It's the same way you feel every single payday. Your morale is about to be broken. And then suddenly the bank account fills. And you're in a completely different mood. I wonder if the 49ers can go find that thing that starts to rebuild them. And then, who knows what happens next?
Well, it's a long way to go. It's a long uphill battle if you really want to get back and do something even remotely special. But yeah, the morale is part of it. I also think that it's hard to keep your morale up when the other team is just literally lining up and running the ball down your throat.
Totally.
Time and time again. And you go back to the Josh Jacobs performance for Green Bay. He did the same thing. And last night it was Cook and Brooks and Davis and more Davis and Cook and all these other guys. And just straight ahead, straight down the middle, A gap, B gap, C gap. Nothing tricky, nothing fancy. Just we're going to run it and you can't stop us.
Right.
And there's been so much of that. And so, from a morale standpoint, it demoralizes you. And on the other side, the offense can't really seem to get Brock Purdy comfortable and get him going and get the offense clicking and humming. There's a drive here and a drive there, but the offense has not had, in a long time now, a good solid stretch of five or six or seven drives in a row where it's just, boom, you can't stop us. We're humming. The offense is disjointed. The defense is getting gashed. So how can morale be anything but low?
Agreed, but get the opening kickoff and make it 7-0 against Chicago and start there. Start there and see what happens. But obviously there's a lot to discuss coming off of all this. Let's get out to everybody here. 888-957-9570, Nick and Clayton. Hi, Nick. Thank you for calling. You're on Willard and Dibbs.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me. Willard, what you're talking about, you kind of alluded to now what you were saying, the crossover, I think can't be overstated. Is what you can't measure what impact, you know, when players have to question their family's mortality or their own mortality, you know, during a season. Like that can't be more important than a football game, or less important, you know. A football can't be more important than that, rather. So that's one thing. But I think regardless of if you're talking about playoffs or not playoffs, if they go on a run or not, I do think you have enough information on the season to know whether or not, and regardless of what you paid Brock Purdy, you have enough information to know whether or not you want to build around Brock Purdy and how, and you have more information to know what weaknesses you have, where places where you need to spend less money, where you can divert and try and, you know, retool with younger players, you know, particularly on defense and perhaps the O-line and the D-line. So I do think there's enough to evaluate. So I agree with you guys. There's no reason to tank a season, but you just can't treat them like they're supposed to go 17-0.
No, of course not. Hey, Nick, can we ask you a question? When you said you do have enough information to know whether or not you want to build around Brock Purdy, can you take the next step on that statement? What do you think? Yes or no?
Well, I think yes. I think you do, but at what? I guess that kind of what's the price tag as
sure.
far as what's really going to be? I mean, if you're talking about this is a $60 million quarterback or top of the market or whatever, and your expectation is that you're signing Mahomes, or I guess it looked like this weekend, Josh Allen, then that's not probably the direction you want to go. But I think regardless, I think you do have to ask yourself, would you want him at a lesser price? Like, would you still want him at all? Because I feel like listening to the station today, I think some people are, you know, all or nothing with the Brock Purdy thing too. And even if, can you live without paying him $60 million? So can you go get a veteran or even draft someone? I don't know. But, get a veteran that most likely that could get you just as far. And I think,
Nick,
Nick.
I appreciate it. Let me split the difference for you. And again, this is just a possibility. I don't know how this is going to play out, but here's a possibility. Because a lot of times when things don't go well in a sports season, it does actually end up as a blessing in disguise. How did the 49ers get Nick Bosa? They got Nick Bosa because Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. He tore an ACL, and so they stunk, and they ended up getting Nick Bosa. Now, could something like that happen this year? I don't know. Probably not. I don't think the Niners are going to get the number two pick in the draft. But here's what is very possible. What if the 49ers do really still like Brock Purdy, and they see all kinds of extra stuff to the negative happening around the franchise this year? From, yes, the death of three babies to contractual stuff to massive injury, all of the things they've dealt with. Excuses? No, just real things that they've been dealing with. What if that leads to Brock Purdy making $35 million instead of $60 million?
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be that low, but okay. The point is still the same.
Yeah, what if he makes
it? It doesn't even matter what it is. The bigger thing is, do you still believe that he is the guy? And all those other things that have happened around him, you weigh that on his performance like yesterday. You don't look at a game in those conditions and automatically think that he should be throwing for 350 and three touchdowns. It wasn't conducive to being able to throw the ball in those conditions. So much like the season in totality, you look at everything that's happened. You lose Brandon Ayuk, your highest paid receiver. You don't have your running back other than, what, 2.5 games he ends up playing this year, McCaffrey. So all these things, you lose your left tackle, blah, 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 you weigh it. I don't think that you're going to be able to whittle it down to 30, but knowing that you don't have to pay him in the offseason tells me that they could probably get it done for, you know, less than what the market normally would dictate.
There's exactly the point that I think we got to highlight today. They don't have to pay him this offseason. I think that's touchy. I think it's tricky. But they don't have to.
Right.
They do not have to. And if I'm Brock Purdy, I look at a situation like that, and I acknowledge that that is a major leverage piece in the favor of the 49ers. Okay? There's two leverage pieces here. One, people will say, oh, well, then Brock will hold out. Maybe. Maybe Brock will hold out because his game checks next year stand to be like, I don't know, 50 or 60 grand.
Right.
So, like, sure, I'll give that up so that I can fight for the bigger contract. That's a leverage piece for Purdy. But the leverage piece for the 49ers is they're going to walk up to Brock Purdy and go, sir, would you like to be rich for the rest of your life? Or would you like to engage in a standoff with Kyle Shanahan as your coach, which is already proven to be good for quarterbacks? Do you want to have a standoff, or do you want to be a rich man for the rest of your life because you haven't been paid a whole lot so far in your young career? Therefore, this is what we're offering. Do you take it? Do you take it? That is a leverage piece that is in the favor of the 49ers for that conversation next offseason.
Yeah, they don't even have to speak about it or use it because they know it, and he knows it too. And the ideal would be Brock Purdy plays great, you win the Super Bowl, then they're happy to pay him the biggest contract in NFL history. But the other side of it is, you go 5-7, and your turnovers are up, your struggles are up. It looks like you're a little bit more tentative with the ball than you were last year.
Totally.
Partly because your team is now last in route separation. And I misspoke during the crossover. They were 10th last year.
Okay.
And now they're 32nd.
Ooh.
And that's a big thing. And, you know, you've got a quarterback who's already feeling a little fidgety tragedy back there because the pocket's breaking down and your receivers aren't open. You've got a rookie in Ricky Pearsall who's quietly gone into the background on offense, a tight end who has to stay in and block a lot because you're not getting it done with your five offensive linemen. So, oh, and your best pass-catching running back has played 10 quarters. So yeah. All these things together, if I'm sitting in Brock's shoes, I'm not going to tell the Niners this, but anything north of $40 million a year, I'm signing.
Well, I'd also say this. It's interesting, and I get why. I understand the way we look at football, and it starts with the quarterbacks. But you come off of this two-game road trip to Green Bay and Buffalo. You lose both games. You give up 73 points, and the running backs are firing through gaping holes on every play. Now, what do we know about the offense? One game was played in a blizzard. The other one was played without your quarterback entirely. And we come out of those two games going, this offense.
Yeah.
You can't tell me a thing about the offense.
For the last 2 weeks.
When you compare it to what the defense is doing. Now, I know they've been hampered by injury too, obviously. But if you want to talk about which side has shown worse the last 2 weeks, that's not even close.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even close. I don't know how you assess the offense when one game's in a blizzard and the other one has a backup QB. Well, I don't know. I don't know how
I look at the blizzard and I look at an offense that had chances at times. And, you know, you had your fullback fumble at the one. You had your quarterback unable to corral the ball when he's trying to throw it. And, you know, the other team didn't really have those problems, even though this was the first snow of the year in Buffalo. They haven't played a snow game. It's not like they always play in snow. But their quarterback is more suited to it than the Niner quarterback and the Niner team. By the time you got to that second half, it looked like they were ready to get on the bus.
No doubt. No, and their quarterback is better suited for any scenario than the Niner quarterback. They have a better quarterback than the 49ers do. By the way, before we continue with the phones, our last caller referred to the Niners dealing with the tragedies, Charvarius Ward, and the news today about Trent Williams and his wife, unfortunately, losing twins. One of them lost during the pregnancy months ago and then lost the other one to disease. And we got that. I don't know exactly what day this all happened, but we got the news now. And so Kyle Shanahan did discuss the 49ers dealing with tragedy this year.
I don't think it's much different in the business world either. People go through a lot of stuff, and whatever their line of work is, they just have a responsibility to do. So we all understand that fully and how hard it can be on someone. And I do think in a sports atmosphere and a team atmosphere, kind of like what I was saying earlier, it's nice for those guys to have a team and stuff they can be around and not feel as alone. But, you know, that's not going to, you know, no one's going to judge your team off of that. They're going to judge it off of wins and losses. And those games come once a week. And you got to put your plan together. You got to practice as hard as you can. And you got to get 48 guys out there on the field in uniform that are going to help you win. And like with injuries, you can't always count on everybody, whether it's an injury or whether it's something tragic that happened. You know, people are going to go through some stuff. And when that happens, we got to have another guy step it up.
Okay. And then one more on this. And this one is specific to Trent Williams and the Williams family. And their stillborn son, this from Kyle Shanahan today.
He did a little bit of that last week, something that happened that last week. And, he was there at the hospital with her and got to meet him and say bye. And then he had to cremate him on Friday. So he's been dealing with that and he's working through it. But we're all just trying to be here for him through it all.
I don't know. That changed anybody's thought on all this?
Well, yeah, it should give you perspective, great perspective. And a lot of times we don't remember that these athletes are actual human beings and they're pro athletes for 3 hours a week on a Sunday. And I know they practice and lift and all the rest of it. But from the performative aspect, we see that and we judge them on that. And we're right to do so. We're fans. It's what we do. But sure. I do think for myself, I'd like to have a little bit more of a greater perspective. And like you said during the crossover, you only know what you know when you know it. And like the Andrew Wiggins thing, he was out, missed a bunch of time, and we didn't really know. And so speculation ran wild, and that was unfortunate. And this, we don't know what's going on with any of these athletes in their real life. And then when you find this news out, it does give you a little bit of an idea of what he must be. And I can't imagine what he's going through when you're going through this, but I do know it's the most unimaginable unspeakable thing that you could ever possibly, you know, have get into your life.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And it's not unfair, because you're right. We're all just fans. And so everybody can be super frustrated. I wonder, though, if there's any room or grace for just like, my God, the 49ers gone through a lot this year.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. Like, for real. You know, your draft pick gets shot in the chest. Charvarius Ward loses a child. Trent Williams loses two kids. And then there's the stuff that's, you know, got a little bit more fuzz on it, the contractual stuff, the injuries. My God. You know, I know nobody likes that. I know. Oh, excuses. I don't know. Can we acknowledge the Niners have been through a hell of a lot.
Absolutely.
This year.
But at the same time, they could be 8-4 right now.
Yeah.
Through it all.
Sure.
You know?
Could be. Presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Okay, Gary and GPD and Jonathan and the rest of you, 888-957-9570. We continue with the phone calls. And if you want to hear everything that Kyle Shanahan said today, we will have that for you in its entirety in 20 minutes on Willard and Dibbs.